Hey, it's Wes here. Today we have a hilarious interview with Colin from Overlanding Overland and Malcolm from Crimson Off-Road. I have to admit that the audio is pretty good most of the time, but there's a few spots where it's not the best, and I apologize for that. The guys were hanging out in a Vancouver back alley on a Friday night, so yeah, there's that. And also, we were laughing so much that sometimes it confused the internet connection and made some weird audio pauses. However, it's totally worth listening to. I had a horrible week, and hanging out with these guys made my Friday night so much better. Check it out. You will not be disappointed. Warning. The 4x4 Canada podcast contains discussion about exploring mountains, camping beside lakes, and enjoying the outdoors. Guests also talk about jumping racetracks side by side, racing 1,000 horsepower rigs across mud pits, and jumping monster trucks over stacks of buses. None of this is for the faint of heart. The 4x4 Canada podcast is not responsible for bringing out your inner adrenaline junkie or making you want to get out there and explore the back roads from coast to coast. The 4x4 Canada podcast is not responsible for broken parts due to jumping your vehicle, hitting mud poles too hard, crossing deep streams, and doing other dumb shit. However, we will take credit for inspiring you to explore mountaintops, spend quality time outdoors with your friends, or meeting new like-minded people, and most importantly of all, following your dreams. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the 4x4 Canada podcast. I'm your host, Wes, and we've got two special guests here today with us. We got Colin from Overlanding Overland, and we got Malcolm from Crimson Off-Road. Welcome back, guys. Colin, you're our first repeat guest. We actually liked you so much, we brought you back.
I like to hear that. Thanks for having me back on the show, Wes.
Not a problem.
I'm glad I didn't insult you.
Not yet. It takes a lot to get me insulted. So just to give a quick bit of history, it's been a bit over a year since we last talked with Colin, and August 24th, actually. So just over a year.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, on episode number 5, back overlanding. We called it overlanding is a fancy word for, that's not right.
Overlanding is a fancy word for camping?
Yeah, there we go. I totally put it wrong in my notes. Wow.
It's okay. I'm your notepad tonight, Wes.
If I have to rely on you for my memory. So if you haven't listened to it, it's a really good episode. Scroll right back on your app or on the website at 4x4CanadaPodcast.com. Check it out. We had a lot of laughs. And I know we're going to have a lot of laughs here tonight. Colin, let's give a shout out to your YouTube channel and on Instagram, your Overlanding Overland with a space in between Overland.
That's right. It's three words, not two, like most people think it is.
And Malcolm. And Malcolm, you're from Crimson Off-Road on YouTube as well, right? You betcha. Yep. So, it's the Island Gladiator boys with us tonight.
With the exception of Casey Toofitty. Yeah.
Yes. And is he going to the show this weekend?
He is. We're all meeting up tomorrow. We're all going to hang out and up for a pre-show barbecue. It's going to be a good time.
Cool. So by the time that this episode gets up, the show will be gone and over with. But what show are you guys talking about?
We're talking about the White Rock Dodge Fast, Fun, and Loud Verity Car Show events.
Charity.
Yeah, that's what I said. Verity Charity. Yeah, so White Rock is like an annual car show that White Rock Dodge puts out. It all goes to charity for the Verity. I shouldn't know that, but it all goes to children in need is what I'm trying to say here.
There we go.
Yeah. So this is clearly the show, like you said, it already passed. I'm the guest MC for the Sears event. So if I was extremely annoying and you were at the car show and didn't punch me out, thank you.
So, yes, and it's going to be a good show. I saw videos from it last year and looked like everybody had fun. And it's not just overlanding crews and Jeeps and stuff like that. It's cars. It's everything, right?
Yeah, everyone's welcome. That's why it's the Fast, Fun, and Loud event.
As long as it's fast, fun, or loud.
Yeah. So that's why I'm there, because I'm really loud when I talk.
Because your Jeep's not very fast.
That's right.
Casey's is, but yours maybe not.
Yeah, he's all three.
Yeah, he's with a Demonator. So let's hop into that. Colin, you went from a Land Cruiser into a brand new Gladiator. And Malcolm, you went from your ZR2 Colorado into a brand new Gladiator. That's a big difference. I mean,
yeah, the Gladiator is more expensive. That's the main difference.
Yeah, that's the main difference. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. So,
but no, there's many reasons why.
Yeah. Yeah, many reasons why. I mean, we know that you, Colin, had a few issues with Land Cruiser going on. It was an absolutely cool Land Cruiser, you know, chopped with the aluminum box or long aluminum bed on the back of it, and totally cool looking machine, but it wasn't quite.
Yeah, it was my dream build, and it failed me horribly, constantly. It had to go.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately.
Who would have guessed, like, putting 1,000 pounds over your rear axle is a really bad idea? I actually didn't know. I think that I wish someone would have told me. I'm kidding. I actually knew this was a really bad idea, and I just kind of chanced it, and it bit me in the ass every single time.
That's the main reason he got a Jeep.
Yeah. Because it takes a lot for a Toyota guy to go to a Jeep.
I know. I'm sitting here biting my tongue. So if you guys haven't checked out the videos from Overlanding Overland, he was over on the mainland. Both these guys are based out of Vancouver Island, and he's over on the mainland and had some issues with tires falling off. And there's a pretty interesting video where they're using trees as tires and skidding down the roads.
Sleds. We were using sleds.
Sleds. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Custom sleds for the toy Sledda.
Sean wrote a song about it. Three versions.
Wow. Was that around the campfire one night with the drinks?
No, that was as things were happening in front of our eyes.
Okay.
No,
he's a really good lyricist, just to let you guys know. You should remember that as a question for next time he's on your show.
So you can say lyricist, but you can't say charity?
No, variety.
Variety?
But variety. Irony?
A variety car show.
Yeah, it's what he said.
Very various mixed models.
So I got, it's okay. Don't worry about my English. I'm fine.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're the MC and doing all the speaking.
Yeah, me too. I'm so happy.
I'm going to video it all.
Yeah, I'm going to video myself videoing you.
Put a montage on it. Why you didn't Holland-isms?
Holland-isms. Like
Ricky isn't the workers.
So, Malcolm, let's hop over. You went from the ZR2 over to the Gladiator as well. And your truck was actually running. Was it just time to move on, or?
The main reason why I switched is I like the Canyon and everything. It was actually a GMC Canyon, but it's essentially I built it into a ZR2.
Okay. Looked like it. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I put long travel and stuff in that, but it's just, you can't beat the solid axle for the articulation and the wheeling and stuff. So even with the long travel kit, it still doesn't, they don't perform the same off-road, like on technical obstacles.
That's right. Because if you want to like feel comfortable, buy a Civic. If you want to go do some cool stuff, buy something with a solid front axle. Yeah.
Sounds good to me. So yeah, no, that totally makes sense. You know, if you guys are doing some of the more hardcore wheeling, then, you know,
we're just like still doing episode.
No, that truck would have been good if it was like sand dunes or like open areas, but it's like buying a Raptor on the island. Like where do you go with that?
Well, my boss would argue with you, but yeah, I get your point.
So Malcolm, you picked up your Gladiator. What do you got for mods on that thing? You bought a brand new right out of White Rock Dodge, right? And you worked with the guys over at Epic, and both of you guys did, from my understanding.
Yeah.
And you both have a really good relationship with White Rock Dodge and Epic. And from my understanding, with White Rock Dodge, you can purchase a completely built up Jeep or Dodge pickup and all under warranty. Exactly. Yeah. Still under warranty, still under, and you get to put all those neat modifications under the never pay for plan.
Yeah. So that's kind of the reason why I was another push towards getting a Jeep, was just having everything rather than get mods here and there. Everything's done. It's one payment. And you're ready to go.
Yeah. So you can literally put all your life savings into one store.
Well, to be honest with you, it kind of makes sense. I mean, I've done it both ways. I've done it where I've bought a vehicle and I've fixed it up over the years. And I've also bought a vehicle and I've done a bunch of mods to it right away. And if you can roll it into your financing package, if you got, you know, a good interest rate on your financing, it makes sense, right? So
yeah, it was definitely huge. And then it's all warranty too. Like they back their work, so there's really nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Primo. It's the best deal you'll find in Canada anywhere.
And in the White States, Rock, probably.
White Rock Dodge, you betcha.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys both running the same suspension and stuff like that? Or did you guys things a little differently?
So with Epic, Christian will tell you that most people will go with a 3.5-inch lift, which he calls the overland lift.
With different levels.
Yeah, different stages of how much money you want to spend.
Right.
So I specifically went with the overland lift because I was spending more money on other things. I mean, I still had a budget. I can't just spend a ridiculous amount of money. Otherwise, I would walk out with a 24-valve Jeep swap that no one does. Anyways, that's not the point. So I went with a cheaper lift, so 3.5-inch lift with heavy coils in the rear so I can support like a canopy camper, which I'm getting this week. We'll talk about that later.
Nice.
And Malcolm's lift is...
What is it? What do you have? The 4.5-inch. I got another inch over Colin.
Compensating?
No, so I already had a rooftop tent and I just got an eye camper on there. So I kind of went more suspension based. So I went with like upgraded control arms and a little bit more height on the Jeep and a long travel, extended travel Terraflex in the rear. So it's kind of built a bit more for rock crawling technical stuff. But I mean, yeah, it's not much different like on the trails that we've experienced. But I want to see, I want to get into more rock crawling and see what the extended travel.
Well, that's what we're doing next weekend.
Yeah, there we go.
We're going to go bouncing off rocks.
Nice. Now, Malcolm, let's talk about those shocks you got. You got those real fancy shocks.
Fancy shock?
We both do.
You both do. Okay.
Yeah, we got the Falcon
Series 3.
The 3.3 of adjustable Falcons. So you can adjust the compression dampening and stuff.
Yeah, you can set them for the road conditions that you're driving on. But most people are lazy and just want them, just forget it and just go full tilt on whatever setting they left it on.
But you can do that.
So are you guys actually moving them once you get safe in the pavement over to FSRs or into the 4x4 stuff?
Yeah, usually we run them on the softest on the dirt. Our Jeeps are still pretty new, so everything's still pretty stiff.
Yeah.
So we run the softest just down FSRs and stuff. And then on the road, we'll put it back in the middle notch.
Yeah, because we'll stop regardless when we hit the trails because we're going to air down because you don't want to go wheeling with highway or streets or city slicker PSIs.
I will say, though, I had the Fox adjustables in my Canyon. And they had little twist knobs on them. And if your hands were cold or they were muddy, you couldn't get at them. But the Falcons are nice big knobs. You can just get in there and it takes 2 seconds.
Perfect. Big knobs. You like big knobs, don't you?
So speaking about airing up, I noticed you guys are running two different systems. Colin, you're running the Kraken.
The Kraken tire inflation system.
Yes.
I'm actually, I have a sponsorship with Epic. I just keep saying that because it's so epic.
And my system's just cracked.
Yeah, so the Kraken compressor is a dual ARB compressor all mounted into a purpose-built mount for the JL and the JT. And his is just a regular single cylinder compressor that's ammo box.
It's a bigger compressor, so it doesn't take very long, but it's just just one you plug up to your battery and you just do one tear at a time.
Yep. Which works. I mean, that's what a lot of people are running.
Yeah.
The Kraken one from Epic Adventure Outfitters, pretty awesome. They got them for, you know, your JKUs and your Gladiators.
No, just the JL and the GTs. That's it. Not the JKs.
Oh, they don't have it for the JKs. Okay. I'm sorry, guys. Obviously, I got to get them on the show so they can talk about it. instead of me. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I bet Paul would love to talk to
Paul. Paul, yeah.
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 Kristen.
Yeah, yeah. Paul and I have actually been talking, and he's like, you got to get me on. I'm like, okay, we got to make this happen. So, so basically, you guys running these new gladiators now, slightly the same, but slightly different. What are you guys noticing in regards to huge changes between the vehicles you guys had before? Like just well, comfort?
Everything's better than the Land Cruiser. Like I should have, that the Land Cruiser was a safety hazard. I don't know how I did not die driving that vehicle.
You don't really have a comparison because it's just so much better.
The amount, no sway bars with a 6-inch lift with really like dinky leaf springs. It's a recipe for disaster that I have not tasted. So I'm good there.
I don't know how he didn't roll that thing. Had you been on a 45 degree angle on some of the corners he would take, and it's still on its wheels.
That's what you want. You want flex.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Dude, you really got to make sure your wheels are planted when you're looking at 50 degrees.
I remember looking in my mirror that one time you were going down that trail, and I thought you were done. Then it's still staying on its wheel somehow.
It was a tough old girl. But what about you, Malcolm?
When wanted.
It's harder because they're both new. I mean,
yeah,
they have their ups and downs. Like the Canyon, I drove it for a bit longer. It was a bit more broken in. It's comfier because it had like 80,000 K on it. So I'm like getting used to the new leather seats again, which was the same in the Canyon when I first got it. But other than the comfort, the Jeep drives a lot better off road. Even with the long travel in the Canyon, I still think that the Jeep drives a lot better.
So what about wheelbase and width differences? Like on the Land Cruiser, it's probably almost close to the same width, but quite a bit longer on the Gladiator. And then on the Canyon, it's going to be wider and longer, right? So you just got to...
The track on the Land Cruiser, the width was the same as a Toyota Mini truck, right?
Okay.
The same axles, basically.
Yeah.
So the Gladiator is... It's going to be wider because of the spacing of the wheels off the axles, and the length is going to be longer.
Yeah.
But we haven't really... Like, you've nailed yours. I mean, like, no sense of your breakover angle being off?
No,
Yeah, like, I haven't really noticed anything, like, severe where...
The Canyon's wheelbase is about a foot shorter, I believe, just under a foot, 10 inches shorter.
What we're trying to say, buy a Gladiator.
No, but I mean, not really. I haven't really scraped my belly or hit my hitch in any spots that I did or didn't with the Canyon. It's been kind of the same. Yep. But the Canyon, the thing with the Gladiator is you got the body and then the fenders and then the tire. With the Canyon, you're full body right out to the edge of your tires pretty much. So
Right.
It's a lot, seems a lot bigger, but it's actually a lot narrower.
Right. So, So like this fender, it's not even the body line. The body line's this. And then this can be like, if you knock it off, it just falls off. And then that's your tire track.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like a matter of getting used to it, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you saw any of that, but I tried.
I did.
I guess I'm a lot more relatable with the Canyon, and I'm used to driving a little bit of a longer wheelbase, so it's not really much of an adjustment for me.
Yeah.
Just kind of the solid axle handling characteristics that are a little different.
So, Malcolm, you got some fancy seats in yours. I was watching your video the other night where you're doing your walk around on your rig at Crimson Off-Road on YouTube, and you're a baller with those leather seats, man.
Well, that Jeep did come with cloth, and then Rich asked me, he's like, hey, do you want your emblem in the seat? And I'm like, it's not a bad idea, maybe. And then I'm like, wait, since I'm getting new leather anyways, I'm like, can you do red leather with a black emblem? And he did it.
Yeah, it looks great, actually.
Extreme boosh.
No, I've always liked the red interiors. I think it looks cool. I mean, seeing him in like Audis and stuff, I know they're sports cars, but
he is Mr. Crimson Off-Road. I mean, it's all the vehicles that are in his videos are not red, so he has to compensate somehow.
Yes. Speaking of
further your red beard.
And then,
I get it now.
It's a nice hair one.
And we know why he wears a hat.
Well, everyone's going to watch this now. They'll tune in and find out.
So I totally forgot my total train of thought here. You're taking off your hat, scared the hell out of me. So
just stand over here.
It's all good.
Well, that's so nice. 25 years old. You like that?
I'm pretty lucky. My hair, I mean, I'm 52 or something like that, and my hair is still doing pretty good. But
you've got more hair than me and you.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens.
Between the
right?
both of so. Us, we have the same amount of hair as him.
Yeah, but you guys, I have put the same amount of hair as you guys put together, but you guys put together weigh the same amount as me. So we're all even now, right? So Vancouver Island's beautiful, but you guys been hitting the mainland a little bit. You guys did a recent trip with a few of the other Gladiator Bros and up in the Alpine. What do you think about that? Like,
yeah, like basically like Vancouver Island is a beautiful place, but you can't drive 2 kilometers into the sky. There's no place you can do that on the island.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It's something Alpine. Else. Like it's an experience that I thought I wasn't going to be that into, but I'm hooked. It's like a drug.
The Alpines.
I'm hooked on altitude.
That thin air. You just love that thin air, right?
Yeah.
Well, the thing with the island too is that Mosaic owns.
Yeah.
Yeah, the logging companies just gate everything up.
Yeah, they own half the island from Campbell River down, and it's all gated. So unless you know ways in behind them, it's really, you can't just go out and do whatever you want.
But yeah, like I think we are going to try to come to the mainland once a month. Like we need to do more exploring on this side of the pond, because there's a lot more stuff out here.
Yeah.
There's a whole country.
Exactly. Well, the whole country is absolutely gorgeous. Got its own really cool things. I mean, BC, we got the oceans, we got the mountains, and then, well, everybody else is on the wrong side of the Rockies. They've got everything over there. But overall,
honestly, you know, we don't even have to leave BC because BC has every single climate.
Yeah, totally. Like up in Camloops, right? I mean, we're sitting.
Yeah, Merritt. Yeah, it's a desert.
Yeah.
Sand dunes. Lillooet. We're going to Merritt.
Are you? Nice. Nice.
I like Lillooet. Yeah, it was beautiful driving through there.
Yeah, Lillooet. And then over into Asuyas is all, they got cactuses and everything going down there too, right? So it's.
Is it cactuses or cacti?
Good question.
Sorry, carry on. We're getting off topic again.
Variety or variety? Now you're going to make me Google that, right? So. So you guys coming back to the mainland. You guys are looking for some high mountaintops, I assume, right? What have you noticed really, though, in regards to the island is a lot more rocks, a lot more trees and mud, right? Is that something?
It's trees. It's just like subalpine terrain. So you're going to find a lot of coastal cedars, a lot of alders that are growing in the trail you're trying to grow up, and you have to chainsaw the whole trail down. It takes 5 weeks to get up, and to get there, there's absolutely nothing. And then you go back and just repeat.
So let's hop back to that video that you guys just posted with everybody that was out there. Again, you guys can check it out at Crimson Off Road or Overlanding Overland on YouTube. They've both got their own versions
Unwinding
of it.
Or Unwinding Road, or The Story Till Now, or
High Tide. Oh, you're going to blow it. High Time Till Noon or something?
Kyle's going to kill me.
High Tide by Daytime.
No, it's
High Time by Nightfall. How do you not know? High Ground When Dinner's Ready.
He is going to kill me.
Sorry, Kyle.
We'll put it in the show notes. So, yeah, you guys went on this cool trip, 5 gladiators together. You guys are up in the Alpine, the mountaintop. You're going up over one mountain and the sun's setting, absolutely gorgeous. Everybody's got the drones out. How did you guys not collide the drones? Is there a special,
I was wondering.
What do you mean? We actually had like our own drone operators for the whole trip. So I don't know what you're talking about.
That's right, because you're not supposed to drive and drone. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, we had our own, they were really well hit, and we told them they couldn't be in the video because we paid them a lot of money.
So that
they're really good at like, making sure the drones don't collide, and most of the drones we have sensors, so they can't collide.
That's what I was kind of wondering. I kind of assumed that, but I don't have a drone, so I just kind of assumed there's some sort of sensors, right?
The drones we have, I mean the operators have.
Yes.
I think we all had different ideas of what kind of shots we wanted. So we all, if you look at all our videos, they're all different. So
yeah,
I think it's just kind of everybody had their different.
Yeah, on 10 like minds. You like stealing half my drones and not printing me in your videos, you guy.
Took my shirts, like the best ones.
That's what friends are for.
Everybody's pulling on their drone. I'm like, but honestly, yeah,
that trip was unreal. Kyle from High Ground by Nightfall, he can't get mad at me because I said his name right. He's like arranged the whole thing, and everyone kind of like jumped on the last second. And the plan was just to like do 1 2-kilometer mountain peak. And then Sean jumped in, Teddy jumped in, and then we just turned to this giant like 1,400-kilometer road trip over the course of 4 days and 2 mountaintops.
Yeah.
While traversing through wildfires. It was like, it was something else. Like, I definitely the biggest trip that I ever went on.
Yeah.
Outside of the island.
And I would do it all again.
Yes. And there's so much of BC. I mean, you got the Kootenays, you got up north, right? Terrace and Smithers.
Oh, the Kootenays are on my list.
Oh, man. There's so many of those are on my list over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous, especially when you get some of these spots with the fire lookouts and stuff like that, right? And that's where a lot of the roads end up, is at fire lookouts. So it's just absolutely stunning, right? So
unfortunately, we have 2 fire lookouts on the island, but you have to
hike.
Yeah, the H word.
Hi.
Hike. You got to hike to them.
Yeah, the one in Wass and the other one, I can't remember where it is.
In Victoria.
There's a fire lookout in Victoria?
No, Quimper.
Oh, in Souk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't go to Souk. It's too soon.
That was a minch. Don't.
I mean.
One in the south is like that, and it's like, you got to pull yourself up with a rope.
See, that's kind of cool-ish.
Yo, it's a cool hike, but it's almost, you got to be in shape for that one. It's like, we went up like 4 of them, and they were like 100 feet long each, and we just looked, and there were more. We're like, yeah.
Dude, you're like 25. You should be able to do that. No issue. Just bring some granola bars.
We weren't ready for it. We didn't know what it is. It's like, it wasn't very long on the map, but it's all like that.
He's wearing his Crocs.
You can always put them in 4x4.
Put the lockers on.
I did see something on Facebook the other day. Some guy's wearing Crocs, and it was tactical Crocs, and he had a Leatherman attached to it, and he had, you know, a whole bunch of little stuff like attached.
Yeah,
to it.
Yeah, there's a little winch on it. We could winch himself up.
But I mean, that's the fire lookouts is definitely only part of the alpine stuff. And I'm going to throw.
Yeah, it's a shame that the guys of the main fire lookout, the one that the 4-Wheel Drive Association BC takes care of. It's a shame that it completely burnt down to the ground.
Yeah, I wanted to see that one really bad, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Hatlitch, it was definitely a nice one. They rebuilt it from the ground up, obviously, as you guys know. And I imagine it'll be a couple of years before they're allowed to do anything with that, just knowing how.
Yeah, because they have to do with the whole fire rehabilitation. That's another word I can't say.
Rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation.
Because you're hanging out with me, brain cells are just drained.
Yeah, I think it'll take a couple of years before. There's areas up here we're still not supposed to go back into after the fires, and that was, 2-3 years ago, right? So, we'll see. But I'm going to throw a plug out to my group on Facebook. It's called BC Forest Fire Lookouts. So anybody wants cool photos and history of some of these lookouts, check it out on Facebook. Colin, you just got some horsepower modifications in the way of new decals.
Oh, man. Did I ever? Like, every decal I got installed here, Adam, like, I can keep it with Sean on like a straight line in a quarter mile.
So you got the name of your rig.
He might still win, though.
He might. You got the name of your rig on the back tailgate.
No one hasn't really gotten mad about that. Someone did say I was being self-centered.
What, on the trail cracker?
Yeah, the trail cracker. That's the name of the Jeep, by the way, because we haven't said it yet.
Yes.
So I think it's hilarious. Some people... sorry, I ruined that. It's a good name. No one else has that name for their Jeep. I don't think anyone else has ever used those two words together in a phrase.
There's probably a reason for it, but...
So I think I'm like... You're very like unique here.
Just like crackers. When you
Yeah, saltines are... Yeah. Like when I'm on the trail, I like to eat my saltine crackers.
Well, now I know what to get you for Christmas.
Cheese and crackers.
Campbell's tomato soup with some saltine crackers.
You can eat them inside your Jeep.
Oh, get crumbs in there.
So, Malcolm, what have you named your Jeep, or have you named it yet?
I haven't named it yet.
It's a trail wagger.
Sean named it the trail wagger. So we got the Island Boys, the Trail Whacker, and the Trail Cracker.
Oh, man. God. So speaking of trail whacking, you guys have a whole bunch of scratches on your trucks now, eh?
Oh, yeah. They're just littered. Like, I went with a white Jeep on purpose because I knew that we'd be taking like tight trails that are completely overgrown. Malcolm went with a gunmetal gray metallic paint. So you can like really see how deep those
I went for the gray Jeep with the paint matched hardtop and the paint matched fenders. They look great all scratched up.
Yeah, like it's like pinstriping made by nature.
BC pinstriping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the beginning too.
Yes.
Next year your old Jeep will be white.
right down to the steel.
I'll need a refit. Hey, Rich, is that warranty?
My co-host, Trisha, she wasn't able to make it tonight. She's working, but she's a Jeeper out of Ontario. And she says every Jeep owner has to have a name for their Jeep. And I have to admit, that's probably not what she was thinking for names, but.
Well, I told myself, like, I'm the Toyota guy at heart. If I'm going to own a Jeep, I'm going to be the most sarcastic Jeep owner on this planet. I'm not going to take any of this seriously.
You sarcastic?
What against?
So I did see somebody mentioned on one of your videos that you should have named it the Ruby Colin.
Oh yeah, I did see that. I don't think I responded to that
instead
comment.
Of Rubicon, Ruby Colin, which I thought was kind of funny, but. that would have been a little weird.
It didn't really speak to me.
Yes.
Well, I was thinking about doing that with mine because my last name is Con. And it has two N's, so it'd be Rubicon with two N's.
There you go.
Oh, clever. It's like a play on words, not.
So the trail whacker can mean so many different things. So.
Thanks, Sean. Thank you for that one. Appreciate it.
Oh man, that's great. So, Colin, earlier you mentioned that you've got something new coming for your Jeep.
Yeah, so I've got a canopy camper coming in later this week. But if you're listening to this podcast, it would have been a week ago.
Teriority.
And that's podcast time math. So I'm getting a canopy camper, and it's not a Go Fast camper. It's not a Vagabond camper. It's not an Alu Cab camper because I would never run one of those. I've got some issues with that.
So it's
a parkeverywhere.ca camper. So it's very similar to the tent I had on the Land Cruiser. It's the exact same tent, but it's built into a canopy camper. So it's a newer company on the market that's producing a new style of canopy camper. And they're based out of Victoria and Vancouver right now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so they're local.
Looking forward to seeing it. So hopefully you have a video up on that one soon.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be sleeping in it soon because I'm getting sick and tired of sleeping on the ground yet.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, and you're running the iCamper, right, Malcolm?
I am, yeah. The SkyCamp technically it's a 2.0, but I put a 3.0 skin kit on it. So I call it an iCamper 2.5.
I thought we were going to call it the iCamper 2.5 con.
2.5 con.
Are you guys running any awnings?
No.
Not yet.
I spent too much on the Jeep.
Yeah.
those are tree catchers. I'm a firm believer of tarps.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. I do have an awning and I absolutely love it.
Sparkles and I.
Yeah. Getting too close to it. What are you guys finding for a big difference on the fuel mileage on these Jeeps compared to your old rigs?
On that aspect, the Land Cruiser wins. I was getting 600 kilometers a tank.
Because it had 60 horsepower.
With the same amount of liters in the tank. Just because it was a diesel, just chugging along like a tractor.
Mine with the Canyon, with the 37s, pretty much deadly, the exact same.
Okay.
They were both regeared.
Fully answer your question, it's 14 miles per gallon highway and 10 miles per gallon off-road.
It's miles per gallon. That's all.
What is it for 100 kilometers per liter?
It's like 18 or 17.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah. I was just curious because I know, Malcolm, actually, it's going to be nicer following Colin now without that smell of diesel and the smoke of the diesel and all that blowing back, right?
I don't know. It kind of sounded like a little 12 valve, so it was kind of interesting to listen to all the time. Yeah, with smoke, though, I'm good on that.
Everyone was told you, put your research on, you're fine.
Didn't work with that thing. It's found its way in through the cracks.
But it's at least it's nice now, Colin. You got things like cruise control and air conditioning.
Heated seat, heated steering wheel. A whole bunch of like really fancy off-road features, like off-road cruise control, 4x4 plus, front and rear lockers, sway bar disconnect, which I was really confused on how it worked because the sway bar is still connected. But so from my understanding, there's an electric hub right in the middle on the top of the sway bar and it unlocks the sway bar. So now it can twist, which allows geometries to make the axle go up and down.
Oh,
so high tech.
Dude, it's better than sliced bread if sliced bread had gear oil on it.
That doesn't sound good, to be honest with you.
Make any sense.
I was drunk.
You're used to the gear oil, eh? When you blew up your axle, you know, blew up the diff. You really like the gear oil.
Dude, this is a family program. You can't talk like that.
You got so used to eating sandwiches with gear oil on it, eh?
Yeah.
Because you had to spend all your money fixing your truck.
I have to admit, it's got to be nicer to drive a vehicle and feel good that you're going to get home in one piece, right? So there's that sense of...
I was like more... Yeah, a sense of security.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like a false sense of security like I once had.
You work in a tow truck industry, so I mean, you got friends, right? So not that big of a deal.
Well, I would get Malcolm to drive it back home, and then we just like pick up the tow truck, and then away I go.
Yeah, light it on fire. What?
I don't know how that forest fire started, officer.
It was a 1980 Land Cruiser.
Yeah, it was a cool machine, but you know, like you say, it was time, right? So I've been there before where it's like, you know, do you keep on sinking money into it or do you pick something up newer and more reliable?
But, yeah, you can only do the one thing so many times before going completely insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's originally why I bought my first truck. I bought a used truck and he just had so many problems. I was like, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I ended up getting my Tacoma too. I had an Xterra before that. It was a nice rig, but it was just starting to nickel and dime me to death. And it's just after a while, it's like $2,000 every month in repair bills. And it's like, okay, it's time.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's even worse than when I was paying.
So.
We're probably on par. That was like $5,000 a year.
That's not bad. When you spread it out.
I've grabbed a year on parts.
Left the cap.
Yep.
Call me the cap.
Capped.
Cool, guys. So what else you got going on? You got the car show this weekend. You got new Jeeps. You're hitting the mainland. You guys broke. Got lots going on. You're broke. Yeah.
No, we've got some stuff planned. So like next weekend, we're going to go and like actually do a wheeling camping episode in this trail that we got wind up from the locals, and we had to give them like a case of Lucky to get the details. It's going to be a good one.
Awesome. Can't wait to see it on YouTube. And I have to admit, I got commented on one of your videos the other night, Malcolm, that I really enjoyed seeing the differences between everybody's videos on that last trip. You know, everybody's got a different perspective. Everybody's got different thoughts on how they should do the video and that. And you get five different guys doing it. And it was cool. It was really neat.
Yeah, it was definitely watching everybody else, just the difference. Like, you couldn't even tell it was almost not even the same trip.
Yeah, it's like the perspective between five dudes doing the same video is interesting.
Then he's got his, like, his sarcastic approach, and then mine's more just kind of like, you're coming along for the ride with me kind of thing. Like, that's kind of what
I'm... You got some good one-liners, though. I'm laughing pretty good.
You did. You had some good ones. Yeah, mostly he's making fun of Colin, usually, but that's fairly easy to do. So yeah.
We can't pick up on Colin, then you're not living life.
He just makes fun of himself. I just film it.
That's true. Cool. So you guys have got a couple trips coming up, and then you're back into the winter wheeling. Do you guys actually get too much winter wheeling down there?
We're going to... Like high elevation, anything above 1,000 meters, just like the mainland, is going to start getting snow.
Yeah.
And we are going to test out how reliable these transmissions are. But I think we already know. There's enough data out there to let us know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they're going to do what we want them to.
Speaking of trans, I saw you're drinking Bud Light the other day.
Well. And Wes just suddenly lost all of his listeners.
I decided to throw that out there. So it's all good.
It's all smart.
That's right. Like, I'm not going to go into why
a bunch of people
disagree. But I was playing around with the idea, like, go with the Whistling Diesel approach and like see if these Bud Light haters are going to comment on my videos to drive engagement to throw that video further out into the algorithm.
There you go.
They just didn't respond. They just stopped watching the videos.
Attention down.
Cool. So let's get back to the winter wheeling. Are you guys running chains and stuff like that when you guys are over in the winter? Is it more of an icy snow you guys get over there, or do you guys get a lot of deep powder as well?
It's going to be like a wetter snow because we're going to be more coastal and you're used to in the interior.
The thing is, like, we don't get snow on a mountain. It stays there. It'll like melt 1 month, and then it'll be like full again, then it'll melt. It's not like just kind of like a glacier up there.
Yeah. So sometimes you can have like a perfect snow melt, and then it'll turn to a sheet of ice, and then more snow will come, and then it's just gong show.
Yeah.
But that's... for chains, we probably should have in some V-bars, but no, we're going to go like...
We got
go bareback,
PSI and never help.
Yeah, go bareback and give it a shot.
Bareback and like, if the truck slides in the ditch, that's when we're setting camp.
That's what insurance is for.
Yeah, except it's all private property over there.
Doesn't merge we're filming it?
Exactly.
No, we weren't filming it.
You guys have to come over to the mainland and get some good powder up in here in the interior. And
I'm sure we'll have like some kind of trip coming up where we'll be going. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to tag along with Sean this year. He's got some crazy things coming up we can't say. So stay tuned. Make sure you watch the story till now this winter, because you will not be disappointed.
The story till now, check it out over the winter. He's got some really neat ideas coming up for sure. So, but I think, you know, you guys, your channels are growing, you know, it's Overland. You're growing since last time we talked. And Malcolm, your channel seems to be growing all the time as well, Crimson Off Road. And yeah, it's great to see the local BC guys' channels growing. I like talking to some of the guys like you guys that you're out there having fun. You got work during the week and, you know, you got bills to pay and workers to pay and stuff like that. And it's nice talking to the regular guys, kind of say. You know, Sean's a great guy. And Sean's a great guy and he does great videos. But
Sean's a professional adventurer. We're just professional idiots.
Is that what your union card says?
I should get a union card for us. Island Boys Productions. Professional idiots. Startups don't become me.
Trailer Park Boys, West Coast style.
Island Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, people will keep that up. We should like do a whole like thing with Netflix.
No, with Schwernet.
Oh, Colin. I would watch it, I have to admit, but it's cool, guys. Well, anything else that we're missing we didn't talk about that we missed?
Not really. I mean, I'm not sure about Malcolm, but I'll be releasing a video. I'm gonna try to like release a video every week. That's my whole goal. I think the audience wants to watch me. I think so. And Malcolm's like two to three videos a month.
I try to do every week, but
one a week is tough.
I have my own kind of carpentry company, so it's pretty involving that. So doing my best, I'll probably do two a month. But
I still have to edit my video that comes out Sunday.
And this is Friday evening that we're talking.
It's almost done. I should have it under control by tomorrow.
Nice.
Oh, but we are going wheeling with Teddy tomorrow.
After the show?
The show is Sunday. So 2 days from now. And Teddy just like called me like right before we spoke. And he's like, let's go like do some trails. Like, sure. I guess I'm filming this episode this weekend.
Well, see, that way you can get ahead, right?
It's a lie. You get ahead, but you're still editing.
Yes.
You get ahead and then you don't go out for a weekend and then you're behind again.
Yep. That's what happened to me a few weeks ago, but I needed a break anyways.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. We do an episode a week and it's like, sometimes I'll have three all done up or three interviews done. And then it's like, you go away for a weekend or something like that. And it's like, you're right back to square one, right? So one a week, that's going to be a interesting one. It's going to be a tough one, but I believe in you. I know you can do it.
You can do it, Malcolm. Because I already know I can.
Listen to this.
So once again, we're talking to Colin from Overlanding Overland, YouTube, Instagram, as well as Malcolm from Crimson Off-Road on YouTube. And you're on Instagram as well too, right?
Yeah,
he was only Instagram, and I forced him to go into YouTube.
Yeah, I got more following on Instagram.
He's my protege.
That's Pam royalties.
Oh.
Right. Give me sense.
Well, I have to say, though, Malcolm, your videos, I have been watching for a while, and your videos have improved. So that is, you know, a good positive thing. I've noticed an improvement on your videos. Colin, yours are the same, and you're welcome.
Yeah, the ones with the canyon were kind of just a test to see if I wanted to do it, and I had the energy and motivation towards it, and then I kind of just took a break and waited till I had my Jeep, and mainly did the walk around of the canyon just so I have something to, you know, remember it by. It's kind of my first new truck, kind of first build, so now I'm going to go hard on that.
Nice. Awesome. And Colin, your videos, I always loved your videos with your sense of humor and your sense of humor. That's about it.
Annoying voice.
But I am looking forward to seeing you guys' adventures coming up in the Gladiators. And it's going to be interesting. We'll have to get together next spring or next fall, maybe I'll try and hit over to the island, or we'll meet you down at the coast or something like that.
Show you some stuff. I know mainlanders love beaches. We can show some beaches.
It's got a tons of ocean spots and lake spots.
Cool. Yeah, but we will not, we're gatekeepers. We don't give out locations. You want to know where these places are, you come with us. We're your tour guides. We'll only show you what we want to show you.
None of the good spots.
That's right.
But the weird thing is there actually is alpine on the island, but there's no mining there. So there's no roads.
And it's all in provincial parks.
No, there's up by Wass. There's a few tall ones.
But yeah. We're going to do stuff. I guess we want to wrap this up, don't you, Wes?
Yeah, well, I think we should. We're hitting up onto that hour. But yeah, I appreciate you guys coming on board tonight. But yeah, I definitely want to get over to the island. I haven't been over there in years. So last time I went over, I was going over racing over in Port Alberni. At the at the off-road races there. So we used to go over there a couple times a year. And
mud drag.
Yeah, the mud drags and the wheel-to-wheel and short course racing. And always a good time over there with those boys. But that's been a long time since I've done that. So, but
I think I went to the Thunder in the Valley like once or twice when they still did that.
Yep.
I don't know if they still do that.
I think they do. I think they still do. But yeah. It's but awesome, guys. I really want to thank you guys for coming on tonight and
thanks for having us.
Not a problem. And hopefully you guys got all your parts figured out in the Vancouver back alleys.
Nope, we don't. I don't have any tool. Everything's apart.
So for the viewers, when we came on board, they were trying to put together something and realized that these new Gladiators have all different torque screws that us Toyota guys aren't used to, right? So
I'm used to like everything being a 10 mil, but I didn't have a 10 mil anyway. There's all clips and forks. It's the weirdest thing, even though you can just like put a 10 mil over a Torx bit and it'll still undo. I don't know. It's the weirdest security features I've ever seen.
It's a Jeep thing.
I can say that now and be really cliche.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool, guys. Well, thank you both for coming on. Colin from Overlanding Overland, Malcolm from Crimson Off-Road. Appreciate you guys taking your Friday night and spending it with me and our listeners.
Hey, it was fun.
It's always a pleasure, Wes.
Thanks for hanging out in the back alley with me. And on that note.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you.
Adios.
We'll talk soon. Bye.
Yeah, have a good one. Bye.